The Senate's new bailout package more than doubles the size of bank accounts that can be insured by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, or FDIC. NPR's Yuki Noguchi tells us what this will mean.
We, collectively as a nation, have more than $7 trillion in our bank accounts. Most of that money, almost two-thirds, is held in bank or credit union accounts totaling less than $100,000 and is therefore insured by the government. The rest is not. Jeffrey Miller is director of New York University's Center for the Study of Central Banks. He says concern among the people with accounts larger than that, wealthy individuals, and more importantly, small businesses, feel vulnerable. So they're moving their money around.
Uninsured depositors have begun to lose confidence that their accounts will be fully protected in the event the bank in which they have their money fails. And they've observed two major bank failures in the past few months, and that certainly causes one to think hard.
They're moving their money from smaller banks to larger ones, figuring bigger is more stable, or they're simply withdrawing money from banks and looking for other safer alternatives. This is very bad for the banks because they rely on deposits to be able to fund things like loans or credit lines, the very things that grease the wheels of an economy and make it possible for banks to make money. The FDIC doesn't track how many accounts hold under $250,000, so it's not yet clear how much more cash, in theory, would be insured. Historically, it's very rare for depositors to lose money, even if their accounts exceed the current limit. Take bank failures of IndyMac and Washington Mutual. Depositors didn't lose money there because either the FDIC stepped in or facilitated a deal where another bank took over the management of those accounts. But NYU professor Jeffrey Miller says raising the cap sends a strong signal.
Namely, that the government and Congress are indicating to depositors, including business depositors, that they need not fear that the banking system is going to collapse.
Miller says there are downsides. Namely, more government backing could make banks feel freer to take bigger risks with their investments.
And since the problem we've gotten into is because of excessive risk by banks and other financial institutions, the policymakers need to be careful that they don't remove a valuable kind of market discipline that banks would otherwise face.
This is more of a long-term problem, of course, given that most banks these days are more worried about surviving than making big business bets. But another thing policymakers need to consider is how to pay for expanding this insurance program. The FDIC's system works like other forms of insurance. The agency collects premiums from banks based on the institution's level of risk. And in the same way health insurance rates change, the FDIC's premiums also change if it has to settle claims or if it insures a larger pool of money. So by raising the caps, the FDIC will likely also have to increase its premiums. The big question is, by how much? Too much of a rate increase could further destabilize banks. Too little, and the FDIC's insurance fund risks being underfunded. Ellen Seidman is policy director of financial services for the New America Foundation. She says the FDIC should not take on that risk without also passing on the cost.
I've seen some talk of saying, well, we're going to increase the deposit limit, but they can't increase the premiums. I don't think that makes any sense.
Trying to keep banks stable is an important goal, she says, but maintaining the stability of the FDIC is essential. Yuki Noguchi, NPR News, Washington.